Welcome to all the dear precious family that are joining us in the room. Bienvenidos a nuestro visitante de lengua española. Feliz sábado a todos. On this Sabbath, August 24th, 2024. Can he hear me? Brother Dick, can you hear me?
Testing. No, but Rosa is. You going to sing for us, Rose?
Okay, he can hear. They can hear.
Brother Dick, can you hear me?
We can.
I think his volume is down. I'll send him a message and to let him know.
We are clear.
Can anybody hear me?
We can hear you, Titi Rose. We can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Welcome and Sabbath blessing once again. Forgive us, dear ones. We may have a little bit of a mic issue. On this blessed Sabbath, August 24, 2024, this is our review of our chapter 81 entitled The Lord is Risen, part 2 of our lesson 415. Welcome, dear ones. And I'm not sure if we are able to communicate to our dear brother that if he can be able to share the tiny thought, him. If it's not, we will help him out to continue.
Brother Dick, are you there? Can you hear us?
Meanwhile, our dear brother Mike will be able to come back and punch him. We are going to try to share the tiny talk, him, dear ones. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou divest me, come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Who would like to join us, dear ones, until Brother Dick comes back?
Did I bump my microphone deal?
Oh, you're there, Brother Dick?
I can. This confounded machine of mine, if I touch the space bar with my book on the table here, it turns off my microphone.
We can hear you clearly. Can you hear us? Meanwhile, we're waiting. Who would like to take the second part?
1 minute, dear ones. I'm sorry. I am on the phone with the dear brother. He's going to pick up the mic now to sing verse 2.
Okay, I'll see you.
There you go.
Sorry, Rose. I wasn't watching the clock. And consequently, and
it's
I had
okay, dear brother.
The share screen stuck way over in the corner. And
It's okay. No worries.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt. Fightings within and fears without. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, a poor wretched and blind, sight reaches healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love I own, has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine and thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Back to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of the parent, if they would like to open the review section with prayer. Maybe you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody.
Thank you,
God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people that's not in the Sabbath and is in the Sabbath. Please protect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. We are going to hand the mic to our dear remnant family that they may be able to share all of the little blessings that they have this week from their parents and also their family members. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For this week's edition of our Mommies and Daddies, Little's Blessing, Mother's Helpers, I'd like to highlight little Emma. I'd like to highlight Emma because she's always willing to be my sous chef. I think I have shared before that Emma has her own cutting board and her own child knife and utensils. And whenever I'm in the kitchen preparing dinner or even breakfast, she's always willing to come in, and she knows what the name of the fresh seasonings are, and she can identify them and pass them to me, and she's willing to cut the peppers and to help me prepare, and even go a little further of washing the things that are used while we're in the kitchen together. And it's truly a helping hand. And I praise the Lord for her willingness to want to learn at such a young age. And I pray that she will not just have this willingness in this, but to everything that the Lord gives her the ability to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all of the dear family that are coming in. Is there any other member of the family that would like to share? Even though we have little blessings, we also have our older children. If there's anything you would like to share, you can be able to do so in this section as well. So it's story time, little ones. We are going to have a listening ears for our dear brother to review our lesson from last week. The story of Jesus, chapter 20, entitled Before Pilate, part 2. So I will hand it to our dear brother.
All right. The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book of Mark and John, the books of Mark and John. Mark 15:4-5. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. He couldn't believe that this prisoner wouldn't try and defend himself. That's human nature. And from John 18:33-36, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and thy chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? He expected he had done some crime that he couldn't tell. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Next slide. When they heard this answer, Caiaphas and those that were with him called Pilate to witness that Jesus had admitted the crime for which they accused him. With noisy cries, they demanded that he be sentenced to death. As Christ made no answer to his accusers, Pilate said to him, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus answered nothing, Mark 15:4-5. Pilate was perplexed. He saw no evidence of crime in Jesus. Criminals often have crime registered in their faces, and he had no confidence in those who were accusing him. Maybe they had crime registered in their faces. The noble appearance and quiet manner of the Savior were in direct contrast to the excitement and fury of his accusers. Pilate was impressed with this and was well satisfied of his innocence. Pilate knew that Jesus was not guilty and should not have to die. Hoping to gain from the truth from him, he took Jesus by himself and questioned him. Art thou the king of the Jews? Next slide, please. Christ did not give a direct answer to this question. He didn't say yes or no. The Spirit of God was striving with Pilate. The question of Jesus was intended to lead him to examine his own heart more closely. Pilate understood the meaning of the question. His own heart was opened before him, and he saw that his soul was stirred by conviction. But pride arose in his heart, and he answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Pilate didn't want to admit that he knew Jesus was innocent and that he felt impressed that way by the Holy Spirit. Pilate's golden opportunity had passed, but Jesus desired Pilate to understand that he had not come to be an earthly king. Therefore he said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence or from here. That's taken from the story of Jesus, pages 124 and 125.
Rose. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part 3. of our title before Pilate in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place August 31st, 2024. Now I'm going to pass it once more for the review of our question to our dear brother.
What did Caiaphas and those with him demand?
They demanded that he be sentenced to death.
They demanded that he be sentenced to death. Isn't that something? They're going to remember that. How did Pilate react when Jesus answered nothing to the accusations?
The answer to number two is that Pilate was perplexed.
Perplexed. He said, man, I don't understand what's going on. Why doesn't this prisoner try to defend himself? What did Jesus want Pilate and his accusers to understand?
The answer to number three is that he had not come to an earthly king.
He did not come?
Come to be an earthly king, but their savior.
They tried to make it look like, the Pharisees tried to make it look like to Pilate that he was going to try to be king and take Pilate's place, maybe. But he said, my kingdom's not this world. They should have understood something out of that statement. Maybe this isn't who we think he is. Anyway, thank you for participating.
Thank you so much, dear brother. Good job, everyone. It is time for Tiny Talk and parents and guests to review the precious lesson that we have learned from God's creation on our topic, Moms of the Bible. And this is our review, and we are going to pass it to our dear brother, Josh, to share.
Okay. Sabbath lesson, Joshua. Sabbath lesson, Brother Joel. Anyway, here's today's lesson concerning in more Babel for the Bible. We're continuing the lesson, The Good Shepherd. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 15 to 21. And all six of these verses say, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might eat, take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down in myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And made them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye? And from last week, we'll be reviewing through the research through lesson 5, Caring for Sheep Part 2. And the memory verse for the whole lesson is Psalms 23, verses 2 to 3, and say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the character quality of the lesson is care versus indifference. Care is to have an interest and concern about another person, as Christ cares about me, or in this case, us. Knowing his voice. As an earthly shepherd knows his sheep, so does the divine shepherd know his flock that are scattered throughout the world. Ye are my flock, the flock of my pasture, all men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Jesus says, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Ezekiel 34, 31, Isaiah 43, 1, 49, 6. Jesus knows us individually and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He saw by thee. He knows the very house in which we live, the name of each occupant. He has at times given directions to his servants to go to a certain street in a certain city, to such a house, to find one of his sheep. The Desire of Ages, page 479. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The Eastern Shepherd does not drive his sheep. He depends not upon force or fear, but go before he calls them. They know his voice, they obey the call. So does the Savior Shepherd with his sheep. The scripture says, Thou ledest thy people led, a flock of by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Through the prophet, Jesus declares, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
I was hoping somebody was going to have something to tell me.
The TV is so loud that I can't really hear myself. Whatever. What? What book?
He compels none to follow. I drew them, he says, with cords of a man, with bands of love. Psalm 77:20, Jeremiah 31:3, Hosea 11:4. It is not the fear of punishment or the hope of everlasting reward that leads the disciples of Christ to follow him. They behold the Savior's matchless love revealed throughout his pilgrimage on earth, from the manger of Bethlehem to Calvary's cross, and inside him attracts, softens, and subdues the soul. Love awakens in the heart of the beholders. They hear his voice, and they follow him. The Desire of Ages, page 480. Jesus cares for you. And he does, not just me, but all of us. Everyone who loves him, wishes to follow him, he loves those that call. And above the picture of this shepherd patting his sheep, it says, they hear his voice and they follow him. And next to this picture, which is supposed to be a picture of Jacob tending in the flock, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Luke 12:32. What we can learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones. Let's use our listening ears, little ones. You know, reviewing in our cloud lesson, it says here, clouds form. Clouds form from water vapor. Vapor rises from salty oceans or slimy swamps. It leaves its impurities behind. So those who have true repentance will leave their sins behind to live a life of purity. They would take on a new shape as clouds form different shapes. And below says cloud classification system. Clouds are easily either the most common sight in the daytime sky. They intrigue us with their varied and ever-changing shapes that are key indicators of weather conditions. Of what kind of clouds? Clouds have names. Sins have names. Fear your heart is what we need. The illustration I have are cloud classification system. The nature, kinds of clouds. Scientists gave clouds names to describe what type of clouds they are. Clouds that look layer-like are called stratus clouds. Cumulus clouds are piled up or heaped up white clouds. Cirrus clouds are curly or wispy white clouds, sometimes called mare's tail. As the clouds are given names, so John names the sins that need to be put away to have purity of heart, injustice, violence, hypocrisy, etc. Stratus or stratocumulus clouds are usually seen closer to the earth. A stratus cloud looks like a smooth, even sheet. There are clouds that drizzle off and fall from. The way they give that gray stratus clouds over the whole sky reminds us that sometimes the powers of darkness gather about the soul and shut Jesus from our sight. At times, we can only wait in sorrow and amazement until the cloud passes over. These lessons are sometimes terrible, but to wait patiently in hope when clouds envelop us, all is dark, requires faith and submission, which causes our will to be swallowed up in the will of God. First Testimonies, pages 309-310. Next, you find clouds like nimbostratus clouds, which form a smooth white or gray sheet. Often the sun peeks through these clouds. Rain or snow falls from these clouds. High clouds are cirrus and are made entirely of ice. Cumulus clouds are more than one height. These clouds can form into thunderheads with heavy rain, lightning, and thunder. Each type of cloud is different. This reminds us of how Satan uses different things to block the view of the Son of Righteousness. Each person that came to hear John was different, but all needed repentance and a pure heart if they were to be part of God's kingdom. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. Psalm 24, verse 3-4. And here in this diagram are all clouds described in our lesson, including two new ones that were three new ones that weren't mentioned. They're the cirrus, the cirrostratus, cumulonimbus, storm clouds, altostratus, altocumulus, stratocumulus, stratus, and nimbostratus. And below is the diagram of the water cycle. Nature, clouds form. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, Psalm 135:7. Remember, the clouds are formed when water changes into vapor from lakes, oceans, and rivers, or from moist soil and plants. The water vapor expands gets bigger and cools as it goes upward into the air. Air can only hold so much water vapor. Warm air can hold more than cool air. Water droplets form vapor on tiny particles of dust. This is interesting because the Bible says the clouds are the dust that is of God's feet. Nahum 1:3. What a picture of the purity of God. When all is just right, the water droplets fall as rain or snow. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down with dew. Proverbs 3:20. As the vapor goes upward to form the cloud, so John was drawing people upward towards Christ. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. John 12:32. Jesus would lower himself to the lowest task to wash his disciples' feet, that he might lift them upward towards heaven. Like the water vapor cycle, Jesus, the water of life, came down from heaven to minister to fallen humanity. And then he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 1:9. He is coming again in like manner, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24:30. And it says in these three verses, in these three rectangles, next to this picture of a cloud, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Nahum 1:3. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 1:9. The same Jesus which is taken from into heaven shall so come in like manner as he has seen go into heaven. Acts 1:11. Continue our reference reading for the mammals of the Bible of our lesson review, taken from the lesson book, The Desire of Ages, chapter 52, Divine Shepherd, part three. Continuing. As the shepherd leads his flock over the rocky hills, through forests of wild ravines, the grassy nooks by the riverside, as he watches them on the mountains through the lonely night, shielding from robbers, caring tenderly for the sickly and feeble, whose life comes to be one with theirs. A strong and tender attachment unites him to the objects of his care. However large the flock, the shepherd knows every sheep. Everyone has its name, or his flock, the name that the shepherds call. The Desire of Ages, page 479, paragraph 1. As an earthly shepherd knows his sheep, so does the divine shepherd know that his flock that are scattered throughout the world. Ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord. Jesus says, I will call thee by thy name, thou art mine. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Ezekiel 34:31, Isaiah 43:1, 49:16, The Desire of Ages, pages 479, paragraph 2. Jesus knows individually and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows all by name. He knows the very house in which we live, the name of each occupant. He has at times given directions to this servant to go to a certain street in a certain city, such a house, to find one of his sheep. Desire of Ages, page 479, paragraph 3. Every soul is as fully known to Jesus as if he were the only one for whom the Savior died. The distress of everyone touches his heart. A cry for aid reaches his ear. He came to draw all men unto himself. He bids them, follow me, and his spirit moves upon their hearts to draw them to come to him. Many refuse to be drawn. Jesus knows who they are. He also knows who gladly hears his call and are ready to come under his pastoral care. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He cares for each one as if there were not another on the face of the earth. The Desire of Ages, page 480, paragraph 1. He calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The Eastern shepherd does not drive his sheep. He depends not upon force or fear, but going before he calls them. They know his voice and obey the call, so does the Savior shepherd with his sheep. The scripture says, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Throughout the prophet, Jesus declares, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He compels men to follow him. I drew them. He says, with the cords of a man, with bands of love. Psalm 77:20, Jeremiah 31:3, Hosea 11:4. Desire of Ages, page 480, paragraph 2. It is not the fear of punishment or the hope of everlasting reward that leads the disciples of Christ to fall with him. We behold the Savior's matchless love revealed throughout his pilgrimage on earth, from the manger of Bethlehem to Calvary's cross, and the sight of him attracts. It softens and subdues the soul. Love awakens in the heart of the beholders. They hear his voice, and they follow him. The Desire of Ages, page 480, paragraph 3. As the shepherd goes before his sheep, himself first encountering the perils of the way, so does Jesus with his people. He puts forth his own sheep. He goes before them. The way to heaven is consecrated by the Savior's footprints. The path may be steep and rugged, but Jesus has traveled that way. His feet have pressed down the cruel thorn to make the pathway easier for us. Every burden that we are called to bear, he himself has borne. Desire of Ages, page 480, paragraph 4. Here are three bonus questions. You find any answers in Bible verses. Question 1 is, who truly knows us? The answer is in John 10:14. 2, What was the true shepherd willing to do for a sheep? The answer is in John 10:15-3. Although I gave you answers already, who are the sheep not of this fold? The answer is in John 10:16. And the answer is, so it doesn't be too difficult. The answer is fold, supposed to represent Israel, and the other represents the world. I'll turn the mic back to
you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. And remember, little ones and family, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us and those that are coming in. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Jesus Save. If you have a hymn book, dear ones, you can find it in 340. If you would like to share the hymn with us, may you unmute your mic to do so. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus save, Jesus save, spread the tidings all around, Jesus save, Jesus save, bear the news to every land, climb the steep and cross the wave, onward till the Lord command, Jesus save, Jesus save.
Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, sell to sin in as far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the island off the sea, echo back the ocean caves, her shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Sing above the battle's cry, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart of mercy caves. Sing a triumph,
sing a triumph for the tomb.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. It's time to have our opening prayer. If any one of the elder siblings, mommy, sir, daddy, so even any one of our guests would like to have opening prayer for our review section, our family lesson, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Everybody, how about blessings, everybody? Thank you, God, for making us up for this morning. Peace be with us, and peace with us, knowing you wanted to come back to the Sabbath. Give us the way we're going to be learning today. Please protect the word that we're going to be learning. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, little one. Our opening scripture to our review lesson is taken from the scripture Song Singers in the Area of God's Love, and is taken from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, King James Margin.
What manner of love? 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown this week? Before we hear all the comments or anything you would like to share with the Remnant family, we are going to take a few minutes to reread our part two of our lesson, The Lord is Risen, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing. Have a blessing, everyone. Reading from the Desire of Ages, pages 780. Christ came forth from the tomb, glorified, and the Roman guard beheld him. Their eyes were riveted upon the face of him whom they had recently mocked and derided. In his glorified being, they beheld the prisoner whom they had seen in the judgment hall, the one for whom they had plaited a crown of thorns. This was the one who had stood unresisting before Pilate and Herod, his form lacerated by the cruel scourge. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading. This was he who had been nailed to the cross, at whom the priests and rulers, full of self-satisfaction, had wagged their heads, saying, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." Matthew chapter 27, verse 42. This was he who had been laid in Joseph's new tomb. The decree of heaven had loosed the captive, mountain piled upon mountains over his sepulture, could not have prevented him from coming forth. The Desire of Ages, page 780, paragraph 3.
At the sight of the angels.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
You can go ahead, brother. I'm good.
Okay. The Desire of Ages, page 781. At sight of the angels and the glorified Savior, the Roman guard had fainted and become as dead men. When the heavenly train was hidden from their view, they arose to their feet, and as quickly as their trembling limbs could carry them, made their way to the gate of the garden. Staggering like drunken men, they hurried on to the city, telling those whom they met the wonderful news. Next slide.
And continuing, they were making their way to Pilate, but their report had been carried to the Jewish authorities, and the chief priest and rulers sent for them to be brought first into their presence, a strange appearance those soldiers presented. Trembling with fear, their faces colorless, they bore testimony to the resurrection of Christ. Next slide, please.
Continuing, The Desire of Ages, page 781. Continuing. The
soldiers.
The soldiers told all just as they had seen it. They had not had time to think or speak anything. But the truth was painful.
Utterance.
They said it was the Son of God who was crucified. We have heard an angel proclaiming him as the majesty of heaven, the king of glory. The Desire of Ages, page 781. Paragraph 1.
Mm-hmm.
If the Desire of Ages, page 781, the faces of priests were as those of the dead.
Caiaphas
tried to speak. His lips moved, but they uttered no sound. The soldiers were about to leave the council room when a voice stated them,
Caiaphas
had at last found speech. Wait, he said. Tell no one the things you have seen. The Desire of Ages, page 781, paragraph 2.
A lying report was then given to the soldiers. Say ye, said the priest, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. Here the priests overreached themselves. How could the soldiers say that the disciples had stolen the body while they slept? If they were asleep, how could they know? And if the disciples had been proven guilty of stealing Christ's body, would not the priests have been first to condemn them? Or if the sentinels had slept at the tomb, would not the priests have been foremost in accusing them to Pilate?
Desire of Ages, page 781, paragraph 3.
And continuing, the soldiers were horrified at the thought of bringing upon themselves the charge of sleeping at their post. This was an offense, punishable with death. They would bear false witness, deceiving the people and placing their own lives in peril. Had they not kept their weary watch with sleepless vigilance, how could they stand the trial, even for the sake of money, if they perjured themselves? The Desire of Ages, page 782, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 782. In order to silence the testimony they feared, the priest promised to secure the safety of the guard, saying that Pilate would not desire to have such a report circulated any more than they did. The Roman soldiers sold their integrity to the Jews for money. They came in before the priests burdened with a most startling message of truth. They went out with a burden of money and on their tongues a lying report which had been framed for them by the priests. Desire of Ages, page 782, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. So what we have learned and how we have grown. We are going to sing a little scripture song to remind us as we answer the questions that we had from last week. This was taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you all reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For those that are not able to see the screen, I'm going to read it out. And if you're moved to share, dear ones, for the edification of the little ones and also for the bigger ones, you may do so by unmuting your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And our last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? Who's going to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Have a blessings, everybody. For the answer to number one is the Pharisees, the soldiers, and Jesus.
The answer to number two, what is the main idea for this section of the story? This main idea is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the effort of the priests and the rulers to silence the truth by having the Roman soldiers come up with a story to say that the Lord, our Jesus Christ, our Lord, was not indeed risen.
The story takes place at the tomb, and I think the courts after, when the soldiers went to the priests and rulers, but definitely at the tomb. I believe the story begins after the after Christ's death and resurrection.
My answer to question five, how can we relate to the story? The soldiers would rather trade their oxy than give a truthful tell. Well, I mean, they could just told the truth of what happened, but they knew they'd be killed. There wouldn't be no harm in telling the truth, but they'd rather give a false report for them that in order to save their skin. Rather than doing the honest thing, they decided to bear for a false witness, bear a false reveal on what had happened. They could have been the first, they were the first to witness as Jesus coming back from the dead, but they decided to keep it a secret. And they'd rather go with the ones who wanted him gone in the first place in order to make it happen. What they did is more offense to God than against their own government.
For number six, there was a little comparison there, if you will, with the soldiers when they realized that if they said this truth, it was punishable by death, and they were so afraid for their life that they would rather to go along with the scheme of the priests and rulers and tell this lie when they clearly had experienced the resurrection of Christ and knew the truth. But they couldn't bear to know that they would lose their life. But I was looking on our Savior was taking on the sins of the world and standing there quietly and willing to go to death for us. But these soldiers, just knowing that they were going to die if they said the truth, nonetheless, it would cost them their life. So they were willing to cover up the truth. And just looking at that, even just that, it's amazing, what the love of God for us and what he went through and was, very, valiant, if that's the word, but that's just one little definition, but yeah.
What I learned from the story, I learned the Roman troops bargained and their ethics all for money. Instead of being truthful, which they should have been, and they were being dishonest and implying to exchange inch for the dough in order for them to keep themselves from being killed, to tell a lie in order to get themselves out of trouble. So unfortunately, they may have tried to cover up the truth that Christ came back from death, but nothing they say can be hidden from God. So we need to follow their example. Be truthful no matter what consequences may be stood, because God will know that you're being truthful both in mouth and in heart.
Amen. I would like to share, there was so much incident in this particular part that can be a lesson also to learn that even when the soldiers was being spoken to change their story, as the priests were speaking to him, there was even reasoning in themselves that what they were told to retell, it was even giving them an evidence that what they was telling them, it couldn't happen because they was not even aware of it, because they was given an opportunity to know what happened when the angels came, what was their reaction in their body, what it is that they had experienced. And on top of that, when they went, they was supposed to go to one direction and they end up redirecting. But all because of the fear blinding them, even by the power that was seen when the angel came down to be able to assist in removing the stone. Fear is something that it could become a war to the reality. If their experience was not evidence enough, then with all the power that was given, with all the manifestation that was shown, you see how they denied the power thereof. That will happen in any circumstances in our life. Sometimes there's going to be many voices. They're going to want to be able for you not to stand in principle. They're going to try to make change the truth by redesigning your experience. But our integrity, no one has the power to do that. But only if we yield our member to become servant, to obey to what the Lord tells us to do, we can leave all the circumstances in God's hand. Because at the end, He's the only one that can be able to be truthful in the experience that you had when the Lord was manifesting all these powers to let you know that the word is true, that the Savior is true, that the message that we were sent to give, it is true. So even as difficult and scary it may be, if you see what the Lord had done and manifested all the power to let you know, I'm here with you. Go forward. Hold on to the one that is unseen. Because it's sure. Anything else is not. That's what I have learned, not only with this particular, but what had happened during the past few weeks. It was amazing that even those little stories of the children, the Lord give you life experience to let you know that what happened then is still happening today. That's what I have learned in this particular chapter, part two. Is there anybody else that would like to share their ones? You have a moment to come up to the mic, or we are going to proceed by God's grace. Okay, let us proceed. We have thoughts and also poem and special music. And the top is taken from a Spirit of Prophecy book, The Signs of the Time, dated December 1st, 1890, entitled God So Loved the World, paragraph 1 to 3. Our opening scripture is taken from 1 Peter 1:5, and it reads, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Those who depend upon their own righteousness instead of relying upon the righteousness of Christ will lose the prize. They will be weighed in the balance of the sanctuary and found wanting. Let everyone who's striving for the precious boon of eternal life distrust his own strength and in much prayer cast his helpless soul upon Christ. There is too little searching for the word of God for definite directions in the way of life. The larger number of those who profess to be believe on Christ have only superficial ideas as to what constitutes Christian character. A sad awakening will come to such souls sooner or later. The thoughts of these superficial believers are not deep or strong enough to comprehend the work of the atonement and the relation of the work of their own work and life. So terrible a deception has come upon many. So many false ideas have become unwrought in the character. That it seems necessary to tear the whole experience to pieces in order that self-dependence and self-sufficiency may be laid aside and outward obedience deepened to inward piety and truth. Do not deceive yourself with the idea that your own inherent righteousness will bring you into harmony with God. Do not fail to look upon yourself. Do not fail to look upon yourself as a sinner in the sight of God. Do not fail to look upon Jesus lifted up upon the cross. And as you look, believe and live for the faith in the atoning sacrifice, you may be justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Believe that you are forgiven, that you are justified, not in transgression and disobedience, but in submission to the will of God. If through faith you lay hold of the righteousness of Christ, then be not careless of your thoughts, your words, your works. Study much and pray that as Christ has shown you the way, he may by his grace keep you in the way. For we are kept by the power of God through faith, and even faith is not of ourselves, but it also is the gift of God. ST, December 1st, 1890, part 1.
That is sign of the time. And let us continue in the other paragraph. Who would like to take the paragraph, dear ones?
In order to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, it is essential that you meditate much upon the great themes of redemption. You should ask yourself why Christ has taken humanity upon himself, why he suffered upon the cross, why he bore the sins of men, why he was made sin and righteous, why he was made sin and righteousness for us. You should study to know why he ascended to heaven in the nature of man and what is his work for us today.
The thoughts of Christ, his work and character are cherished. You will be led to sink deep the shaft of truth, and you will be enabled to come into possession of precious jewels of truth. Through an appreciation of the character of Christ, through communion with God, sin will become hateful to you. As you meditate upon heavenly things and walk with God, as did Enoch, you will lay aside every weight and sin and the sin that doth so easily beset, and will run with patience the race set before you.
Continuing, we think that we are familiar with the character of Christ, and we do not realize how much is to be gained by the study of our glorious pattern. We take it for granted that we know all about him, and yet we do not comprehend his character or mission. If we neglect to search the scriptures which testify of him, we shall be led from the truth into the error of the wicked one. Our building must be founded upon the rock Christ Jesus, or it will not stand the test of the tempest. From the Signs of the Times, December 1st, 1890, paragraph 3.
Reflection. Every individual, by his own act, either puts Christ from him by refusing to cherish his spirit and follow his example, or he enters into a closer union with Christ by self-renunciation, faith, and obedience. We must each for himself choose Christ, because he has first chosen us. This union with Christ is to be formed by those who are naturally at enmity with him. It is a relation of utter dependence, to be entered into by a proud heart. This is close work, and they who profess to be followers of Christ know nothing of it. They nominally accept the Savior, but not as the sole ruler of their hearts. Pamphlets, pages 117, page 21, paragraph 2. Some feel their need of the atonement and with the recognition of his need and the desire for a change of heart, a struggle begins. To renounce their own will, perhaps their chosen object of affection or pursuit requires an effort. at which may hesitate and falter or turn back. Yet this battle must be fought by every heart that is truly converted. We must war against temptations without and within. We must gain the victory over self, crucify the affections and lusts, and then begin the union of the soul with Christ. As the dry and apparently lifeless branch is grafted into the living tree, so may we become living branches of the true vine, and the fruit which was born by Christ will be borne by all his followers. After this union is formed, it can be preserved only by continual, earnest, painstaking effort. Christ exercises his power to preserve and guard this sacred tie, and the dependent, helpless sinner must act his part with untiring energy, foreseen by his cruel, cunning power will separate him from Christ. Pamphlet, chapter 117, page 21, paragraph 3. Testament for the Bow Creek Church.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brethren. We have the poem, and it took only two of the verses. And a prayer for the youth. The poem is entitled The Wandering Sheep Restore Margin, taken from Children Activity Book. The Wandering Sheep Restore Margin, taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 3, Page 80, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first verse, everyone? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1, Jesus my shepherd is. 'Twas he that loved my soul. 'Twas he that washed me is his blood. 'Twas he that made me whole. 'Twas he that sought the lost, that found the wandering sheep. 'Twas he that brought me to the fold. 'Tis he that will doth keep.
No more a wandering sheep. I love to be controlled. I love my tender shepherd's voice. I love the peaceful fold. No more a wayward child. I sneak no more to roam. I love my heavenly father's voice. I love his home.
The Youth's Prayer, Book Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 5, page 126. Lord, raise my youthful mind to see how good it is to trust in thee. From all the enemies of truth, do thou, great God, preserve my youth. Free my young mind from worldly snares, from youthful sins and youthful cares. And in this heart, though heart of stone, but seeds of early grace be sown. That finding pardon through my Savior's blood, I may devote my youthful powers to God.
Amen. And a special music is taken from our book lesson, The Desire of All Nations, Volume 1, Memory Verse CD, from John chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, King James Margin.
Whosoever believeth
Amen. Praise the Lord. If we have any testimony, dear ones, we can be able to proceed after all the services. So next week, we have come to the end of our lesson, dear ones. Next week, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled The Lord is Risen in our study book, The Desired Ages. If any one of the little one, mommies or daddies, so even our guests would like to close the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for gathering us once more to praise your name, Father Jesus. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given to us throughout this week. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for these blessed lessons that you are giving us today. Thank you, Lord, for just having us here. I pray for the ones that might be sick or in any pain. Thank you for the little ones that are on their participation and continue to bless and keep them and their parents as well. As we move on to the next study, we pray, Father Jesus, that you continue to be with us. Continue to pour down your blessing upon us. Be with the speaker, I pray. Bless and keep us throughout this Sabbath day. Elevate our minds and keep our thoughts on you, Lord, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will review part 3 of our chapter 81 entitled The Lord is Risen on August 31st, 2024, and that will be lesson 416. Leaving the scripture and also a part of a quote from The Great Controversy, page 469, paragraph 3. Our scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians 15:57, King James. But thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And from our quote, this work can be accomplished only through faith in Christ, by the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. Paul admonished believers, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that is taken from Philippians 2, 12 and 13. The Christian will feel the prompting of sin, but he will maintain a constant warfare against it. Here is where Christ's help is needed. Human weaknesses becomes united to divine strength, and faith exclaims, thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.